Good morning.
Good morning.
As you probably noticed today, we have a special service here. It's our communion program. And one of the things that we notice in communion services is that people kind of like abstain for participating in communion for different reasons. I remember once somebody saying, "Pastor, I don't do the food washing because I have a fungal infection in my nails, and I don't want anyone to get sick." Another person once mentioned, "I have diabetes, and it's affecting my feet and made me prone to infection, so I need to abstain for certain things." You know, we are one of the few churches who is still practicing what we call the food washing. The majority of the churches, they believe in communion, or the Lord's Supper, they call it different ways. And I guess for the sense of being more practical, they had discarded some practices and adopt another ones. But we believe that the Bible is clear, and Jesus intended for us to follow this for a reason. It's a deep teaching and meaning, a profound sense that is awakening you when you are partaking of this ceremony with someone else. And you find also this text in 1 Corinthians 11, right? The Bible says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord." 1 Corinthians 11, 27. So probably you have encountered this. And the question that I have for you is, what is eating or drinking in an unworthy manner? If you are like me, the first thought that I come to my mind when I encounter this is, man, I need to get my act together before I go to communion, right? Ask for forgiveness, ask the Lord to cleanse me and apologize to all the people that I offended during the last quarter. You know, by the way, we Seventh-day Adventists do communion every quarter, and it's an explanation for that, right? Some churches do it every Sunday, and we do it like once a quarter, and the reason for us is because it's a special occasion. We want this occasion to remain special. We don't want to make it so common. So what is an unworthy manner? Let me see if I need to turn it on. All right. The word worthy comes from the Greek axios, and it's the same word to use like in a scale. You see here, let me see. My laser is not working good. The scale here represents something that is worthy. Meaning, when you put one of the things in one of these plates over here, the weight in the other plate should be the same, so the scale remain in balance. So having something worthy is having something that is balanced between the two the two scales here. So I want you to think about this in a very simple way. If you put in one of these scales, Jesus, and then you put yourself in the next scale, what do you think will happen? Do you think the scale will remain balanced? And we obviously realize that the moment that we are comparing ourselves to Christ, we fell short, right? Do you think the disciples knew about this? And or the people in the Bible knew about these events? Let me see. All right. So Christians are to be measured to Christ. And it's John the Baptist who reminds us that once we accept Christ, what we need to do? Bear what? Fruit that befits repentance, right? So it's an invitation to be different. So when we compare ourselves to the Lord, we realize that we always be short, right? It's not like we will never be like equals to Jesus. Do you remember the experience of the centurion when he was asking Jesus for the favor? I want you to read this with me. So Jesus went with them, the people that was going to the centurion house, and he was not far from the house when the centurion sent his friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourselves, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof." So that to me is a very profound indication of humility right there. This man feels so unworthy. And I think that's how we should all feel. Right? We should always feel unworthy, because in reality, none of us is worthy. Who is the only one worthy? And you find that right there in Revelation 5:12, right? Worthy is whom? the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and mighty and honor and glory and blessing. Amen? So our Lord Jesus Christ is really the only one worthy. So thinking about that, again, we realize that the only one who gives us value is Jesus. And look, for instance, in this portion here in 1 Timothy 1:12. I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who was giving me strength for my work, and I thank him for considering me worthy and appointing me to serve him. And that's something that in reality appeals to me as a pastor. Because you get confronted with these realities, who is really worthy to be a minister? We are all in the same struggle. But somehow Jesus called some of us to do this job. And for that, I'm really grateful. Not because I am the best, or the better, or the most qualified. I'm pretty sure it's other people that is better and more qualified than me. But I'm grateful because he gave me the opportunity. And that's a great blessing, right? What is the meaning of worthy in the context of 1 Corinthians 11, right? And let's do some reading here. This is found in Corinthians 11, 20 and 22. And this is what was happening at the church in Corinth. When you meet together, you don't really celebrate the Lord's Supper. You even start eating before everyone gets to the meeting, and some of you go hungry, with others go drunk. Don't you have homes where you can eat and drink? Do you hate church, God's church? Do you want to embarrass people who don't have anything? What I can say to you, I certainly cannot praise you. 1 Corinthians 11, 20 and 20. This is the contemporary English version. King James do like a little different reading. So what is Paul telling them? What was their problem? Every single time that they have a potluck at church, they combine that with what else? With communion. And not only that, but some of the members that I guess they were more fast, or that they were more powerful or more rich, they go ahead of the line at the meal and they eat pretty much everything. So when the least of the members of the church, mean slaves and servants and the people who didn't have a lot of money, finally get through, they encounter what? Nothing. It was gone. And it seems like some of these brothers and sisters drink too much that they get drunk. At church! This is not something that happened in homes. It was happening at the church. So that gives you like an x-ray of the condition of the church at the time, right? So Paul is pretty much helping them to realize we have an issue here. The issue of worthiness is based in how do you treat the Lord's communion, the Lord's supper. Know how do you look at yourself. And let me see if I can explain this better. The apostle was trying to re-explain the ceremony to them. Why? Because the significance was lost. They start treating the Lord's Supper like any other meal. That can happen to us? Yeah. Today we will offer you a simple piece of bread and a little cup with grape juice, which represents the blood and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a symbol. It's something that if you take it with faith, it will have a benefit for your spiritual life. But you can treat this with discontent, and you think, oh, it's a regular piece of bread. It's not big deal in there, right? And so it's in our spiritual attitude that we will get benefit from this. Think about this writer speaking about the worthiness. Unworthiness does not consist in the moral quality, speaking of the person that is practicing the communion, that is the character of the participants of the Holy Supper, but is the result of the wrong way of considering the holy meal in which we contradict the solemnity of the service. And the Adventist manual said the following: Paul is not speaking of unworthy people who participate, but of unworthy manner in which they participate. So what Paul is trying to say is, we are all unworthy. But we treat this with such a respect and love because we know that the Lord established this for our own benefit. Right? What was the meaning, by the way, of the communion? What is the point of that? Why Jesus established this ceremony? It was a reminder, right? A reminder of what? That he will come back one day again. So every single time that you take communion, you need to remind yourself that one day Jesus will come back, right? But if you eat the bread and drink the wine in a way that isn't worthy of the Lord, you sin against his body and blood. This is disrespecting the Lord's body. Again, that's why you must examine the way that you eat and drink. If you fail to understand that you are the body of the Lord, you will condemn yourself by the way that you eat and drink. Let's go to the First Supper. I just want to use that as an example. And you remember here in Luke 22:3, and this is an interesting Bible test, right? Then Satan, what? Entered in the heart of Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12. So previous to the communion, what was the condition of Judas? According to this Bible test, he was under the influence or the control of whom? Satan. And let me ask you, this is kind of like a rhetorical question. Do you think Jesus knew about this? He was aware of that situation? When the time came to Jesus, this is Luke 14 to 20. When Jesus came for Jesus and the apostles to eat, he said to them, I have very much want to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. I tell you that I will not eat another Passover meal until it's final eating in God's kingdom. Jesus took a cup of wine in his hands and gave thanks to God. Then he told the apostles, take this wine and share it with each other. I tell you that I will not drink any more of the wine until God's kingdom comes. Continue the same reading. Jesus took some bread in his hands and gave thanks for it. And he broke the bread and handed to the apostles. Then he said, this is my body, right? Which is given for you. Eat this as a way of remembering me. After the meal, he took another cup of wine in his hands. Then he said, this is my blood. It is poured out for you. And with it, God will make his new agreement. So it's a very beautiful and profound sentiment that Jesus established this, to help us to remember all the pain and the suffering and the struggle that our Lord go through to save us, right? I have two quotes that I want to share with you and from this writer. Some of you are acquainted with this writer, others not, but I pay attention to what this person is saying here. Though Jesus knew Judas from the beginning, he washed his feet. A long-suffering Savior held out every inducement for the sinner to receive him, to repent, and to be cleansed from the defilement of sin. It was because the disciples were erring and faulty that he washed what? Their feet, and all but one of the 12 were thus brought to repentance. Question, was Peter in a better condition than Judas when he refused to let Jesus to wash his feet? What about John? He was in better standing than the others. What we fail to realize is that all of them have deep problems. So the fact that they were sinners, the fact that they were struggling with these problems doesn't stop Jesus from trying to minister to them. Because the point of washing their feet and bringing them into this communion is precisely to help them, right? So is God the one who's calling us sinners to partake of this ceremony? Because we need it. We need this relation with God. I like this other quote. I think it's a beautiful quote. The communion service was not to be a season of sorrowing. You know, in many of our communion service, everybody looked like so sad, like somebody had passed, something terrible had happened. But it shouldn't be like that, right? Shouldn't be a season of sorrowing. As the Lord's disciples gathered about his tables, they are not to remember and lament their shortcomings. They are not to dwell upon their past religious experience, whether that experience had been elevating or depressing. Now they come to meet with Christ. So all of that, you leave aside, and you move forward, right? Always pressing forward. Why? Because that's what God wants from you and from me. Do we have mistakes? Many! Can we remember? Yes, we do. And in many occasions, we bring ourselves down with these thoughts and with these sad mistakes and all this regret and pain that we had for many, many years. So communion is a time for let all that go, right? You and I, we are not here because we are perfect. We are here because we are in need, right? I just like the picture when Jesus and the lamb. I don't know. I used to have one with a black lamb, but I didn't found that one. The reason for us to be here today is to encounter a friend, right? We're having a meal with Jesus Christ. It's an invitation for a relationship, for love. What do you think? Do you feel worth it now? You know, Thinking about that, I want you to remember that every single time that Jesus Christ is beside you, He made you worthy. He is the one who gives us value, right? He is the one who appraised you and me, who make us worthy of being here. For that reason, my dear brothers and sisters, I would like you to consider today partaking of the communion service. Today, we have three classrooms, and again, I leave this to you. You think about it, you pray about it, and you made a decision. We are not here to judge anyone. Our communion service are open, so anyone can partake of the communion service. The only thing that we encourage you is pray about it and take this ceremony with respect and with the seriousness that requires. In the back of the church, we have three rooms. And we have one room for the gentlemen who want to partake of the foot washing. We had one for the ladies who want to do the foot washing. And we had one room for the couples that want to do their foot washing. Why? I mentioned this before to you. We need to have couples because we are the ones who are living the close to each other and tend to offend the most, the people that we love, right? The ones who are closer to us. So whatever room that you decide to go, you are welcome. If you want to remain here and pray and meditate for a few minutes, meanwhile, everybody come back, you are welcome to do so too. If you want to read the Bible, whatever the Lord lead you and guide you, we will support you. But my encouragement to you, my dear friend and brother and sister, is that none of us is worthy because we have merits in ourselves. The reason that we are worthy is because Jesus is trying to help us, rescue us. Amen? Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, today we are asking you to please lead us into a relationship with you. We are really happy because we had this opportunity to have this meal, this special and very intimate encounter with you. Lord, today we are asking you for every person here. In your name we are asking you these things. Amen.